Each of you gathered out this morning, and good to renew fellowship. Again, the world has changed quite remarkably since the last time I was here, but one thing doesn't change, and that's our Saviour. And He doesn't change. He's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. So it's good to be here. Thank you for having me, and it's good to be back. Tonight, when we come to the Gospel, people are wondering about this phrase, the new normal, and what's new, and everything else. Well, there's a lot of one things to come, and I want to look at future days, what's coming and what's next that will happen in the days that lie ahead. So that's what my message is, will be tonight, the future, where's all of this going to, and we'll address that as best we're able tonight. Turning this morning in the Word of God to Malachi chapter 3, the prophet Malachi, the final book of the Old Testament, and the penultimate chapter, so it's the second last chapter in the Old Testament. I'm taking time to read the first six verses, please. I have something in mind that I want to bring to maybe a saint who struggled during these last number of months, and these have been tough days and been locked up and all the issues, not being able to see family or friends, or maybe somebody's got a totally different problem this morning and I want to try and bring a word of encouragement. Let's read the Word of God as a starting point. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. The Word of God says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Now that phrase, the Lord of hosts, Malachi is only four chapters, and that phrase is 25 times in those four chapters if you took time to search them out. "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in the former years. I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." And there it is again. "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And amen, and God will bless the reading of his own inspired, infallible, inerrant, indestructible, incorruptible, and inexhaustible word of truth. Now let's have a brief word of prayer before we would consider what the Lord would say to us this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we wait on in your presence this morning. We thank thee for the blessings that have already gone as we've remembered our blessed Saviour in his own appointed way around the supper this morning. We thank thee for the blessed time to consider him and to consider Calvary. Yes. But Lord, as we draw an eye now to thy word, we pray we need thy help. Lord, bring clarity of thought and speech. Lord, help us deliver the message you've given to us. We pray that it would be a comfort to a needy saint this morning, and that thou would bless them and help them and encourage them along the way. Lord, meet with us and speak and glorify your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. In verse 1 there it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger." And of course the name Malachi in itself means the Lord's messenger. And in verse 1 we find that the Lord is going to send his messenger. Of course it says the one who is coming first and preparing the way before me and so on. And obviously, initially, the partial fulfillment has in John the Baptist before the later fulfillment in verse 5 of chapter 4 in Elijah. And of course, if you were here about it must be about 10 years ago now, I did a demonstration of the Passover, and there was an empty chair at the end of the table, Elijah's chair, as the Jews looked for him. But the messenger of the covenant, which we find there in verse 1, of course, is obviously the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But I see the irony and the sarcasm this morning of the phrase, in whom ye delight. And of course, they didn't delight in him at all, on anything but. And I see the sarcasm in that as they sent him and cried out for his crucifixion. In verse 3, we have the purifying of the sons of Levi and the offerings of the millennium commemorating Calvary and so on. But my text this morning is found at the start of verse 3. And this morning what I want to speak on is that little thought about he shall sit as a refiner, and the bit is I'm after is the purifier of silver. I want to turn our thoughts to the purifier or silver or the purification of silver. Now, what does that mean? And not only what does it mean, but how does it apply to you and I this morning here in Shiloh Hall? Well, I want to start with an illustration. Some ladies met weekly for a Bible study, and they got to this portion of scripture and they hadn't a clue what that meant. So one undertook to go see a silversmith and try and find out what this was all about and report back to the group. And off she went, and without revealing her purpose, she got to the silversmith and she asked him about the process of refining silver. And after the silversmith described to the lady about how silver was refined, she asked some questions. The first question that lady asked was, "Sir, do you watch while the work of refining is going on?" And here's the silversmith's answer. And he said, "Yes, madam, I must sit and watch the furnace constantly. For if the time or the temperature necessary for the refining is exceeded in the slightest degree, the silver will be injured." Having seen the beauty of the type of Malachi, where the Lord tenderly sits as our refiner and purifier, she asked a further question. "Sir, how do you know when the work is finished?" "Oh, that's quite simple, madam. When I can see my own face, when I can see my own image in the silver, the refining process is complete." And this morning, to a child of God that's in a time of tribulation, a trial of life, and you're in a test, and the tumult's all about you, and you found these last 6 months tough, been locked up and not able to see family and get out and meet together as a people of God, or whatever it else is in your life this morning, I want to bring a word of encouragement, of comfort and help to that child that's in a valley this morning. The first thing I want you to see is the refiner's purpose. The refiner's purpose. So often we are in the midst of the fiery furnace and we struggle to understand why and what the Lord is doing. And so often we're asked to reduced to asking the wrong question. We so often ask, "Why, Lord? Why me?" When the question really ought to be, "Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this circumstance?" Yet the reality is that God has always got a reason for what he is doing through the burdens of believers. God always has a reason for the suffering of saints, the cares of Christians, our troubled times. And dear brother or sister this morning, often his purpose is just like the refiner, to make us more like him so that he can be seen. Often his purpose is just like the silversmith, to remove our impurities, to make me more like Christ, to make me more beneficial to others. to make me more dependent upon him in future trials. So with all of that in mind, I want to contrast the reality, first of all, of the natural man to the reality of the man that is like the Lord Jesus Christ and has been in the refiner's fire. So first of all, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Paul's letter to Ephesians. We're turning to chapter 4 and we'll start at verse 17 and we'll work our way down some of the verses. And really, the refiner's fire, when it comes upon me, will impact on two main areas of my life, my walk and my talk. And this is what we have here this morning. Firstly, our walk. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk. Now note, in the vanity of their mind. The walk of the unnatural or the unsaved man or the carnal Christian is the vanity of their mind. Verse 18. Having what? The understanding darkened. So the vanity of the mind and a darkened understanding. Being alienated from the life of God. Aliens. There was a time when we were aliens and strangers to God. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So you've got the vanity of mind, a darkened understanding, alienated from the life of God, ignorance in us, and the blindness of a heart. That's the natural man. Verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Now that big word simply means wanton or loose or a natural man. That's what it means. To work all uncleanness and greediness. Now the challenge to my heart straight away this morning is, do these things still characterize this man? Is there so much impurity still in him that these things will need removed and I'll have to go in the refiner's fire? Because you can be sure if they're there, the Lord will move me and he'll sift me to make me more like him and to get some of those things out. However, we're not left with the details, without the details rather, of a Christ-like man and his walk. Look down to verse 21. And it says, if so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught with him as the truth is in Jesus. And brethren and sisters this morning, surely we have heard him. And surely we have been taught of him. Verse 24. And that ye put on the new man. And daily we're to put on the new man. Which after God is created in righteousness and through holiness. Now you see, Paul is here setting out the characteristics of the Christ-like man. The man who has likely refaced the refiner's fire. He's been taught of him. He has put on Christ. He's in righteousness and he's in holiness. Now I have to confess this morning that it's when those tough times have come my way. It's when those difficulties descend. When he's sifted me. And he's put me in his refining fire. And he's begun to remove the natural man. And to remove those impurities. And remove all the things that I am. And he's begun to make a start on me. Making me a little more like him. You know, this morning, he's a long way to go. I'm only a work in progress. And child of God this morning, in your trial, it's for a purpose. And when it's over, you'll see a change in your walk. And the refiner will see a little more of his image than he did before the process started. You'll see the impact of the refiner's fire will not only impact on my walk, but it will be evident in my talk. You see, truthfulness. Look, run your eye down to verse 25. He says, "Put away, wherefore putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another." Put away lying. Are the words of this man this morning wholly dependable
and holy true.
Temperance, verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Never give place to the devil. Brother and sister, this morning, before you go to bed, sort out the problem. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Timeliness, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister unto the hearers. A Christ-like man will not only have truthfulness and temperance, but he will have a timely word. His word will be in season, sprinkled with grace for a troubled saint. Truthfulness, temperance, timeliness, tenderness, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, tenderness. Sometimes, well, I open my mouth to change my feet sometimes. You know, the reality this morning is sometimes we have the right words, but we deliver them all in the wrong tone. It's sometimes it's not what we say. It's how it's said. It's important. But the Christ-like man will deliver his word in tenderness, in love, and compassion. The brother and sister this morning that's in the refiner's fire, he has a purpose in your refining. He has a purpose. When you come out the other end, you'll be that little bit more like him than what you were before you went in. The refiner's purpose. Secondly, the refiner's patience. The refiner's patience, his attention. You see, it's wonderful that the refiner will work with that silver as long as it takes till he gets it the way he wants it. He will work with it. And he'll persevere with it. And that piece of silver is just how he wants. I not only think of silver, I think of clay. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Do we find the potter in Jeremiah 18 to see a further illustration of it? You all know the story well. Jeremiah 18, and verse 2 down to verse 6. But how he will persevere and he'll get the impurities out of the silver or of the clay. Jeremiah 18 verse 2. And it says, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. So there's the word of instruction. I will cause thee to hear my words. Verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and there's the work that was involved. He's working on the clay. The word of instruction, the word of work involved, verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. The weakness of imperfection. And whether we like it or not, all of us are imperfect this morning. No such thing as sinless perfection this side of eternity. The word of instruction, the work involved, the weakness of imperfection. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. The wonderful iteration. He does it again. He doesn't throw it away. But he does it again by removing the imperfection. Praise God this morning, every time he finds an imperfection in me, he doesn't throw me away. He works on me and he puts me in the fire to remove it. And he's been at it 40 years now, and he'll still be at it when he takes me home. A big job. Verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine, O house of Israel. And that's a wonder that's inspirational to me this morning. Absolutely inspirational that the heavenly potter, the heavenly refiner, would take an interest in working on the like of me. Can't get my head running around why he would want to do it. But he does. And brother and sister, I want to say this morning, it's when it's in those times that he's taken time to work in me, to remove my impurities, to refine me. It's then that I am especially the focus of his attention. And that those are the times that I come to treasure. Because it's then that he's closer than he ever is before. And I'm totally dependent upon him. And in my trials I find him in the shadows. His attention. But I want you to see our absorbing. See, I have to confess this morning, can't do anything else, my wife's in the meeting, that by nature I'm very stubborn. If you ask me to do something, I'll go to the end of the world and I'll give you the shirt on my back. But try telling me to do it, that's a different matter. It's just not going to happen. So the Lord, there's times the Lord has to be very patient with me before the penny drops and Martin absorbs a lesson. As you all know, in my unsaved days, I love sport. Built for comfort these days rather than speed, but I wasn't always this shape. And sport was my God before I was saved, and the desire of my heart was to represent my country. And shortly after I was saved, I got the opportunity. But I had to let it pass, because it meant playing on the Lord's day. I didn't go through with it. Sometime after that, I felt the Lord telling me to give that sport up altogether because it was taking me to places that a believer shouldn't be. And I loved the game. And I gave it up, but I gave it up reluctantly. Started the next season, come round, and I went down to watch a game. And I could beat 1-0 and went around the changing room after the games to talk to some of the boys. You know what it's like then, the pressure comes on. Ah, we're getting beat without you, come back, and all the nonsense that you get. And we're home that day, and it shows how green it was. Bear in mind, when I was saved, I didn't know Genesis from Revelation. I was only saved away. And I don't believe in using the scriptures or lucky dip or anything like that. But I said to the Lord, Lord, you've seen him prepare to give it up for you. Now you know that I'm going back, all right? Like, what sort of an idiot would come out with nonsense like that? And I got my Bible down. And I opened it at Proverbs 1. Don't know why, but I did. And I go down to verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not. Wrap across the knuckle. And that day I got down on my knees and I said, okay, Lord, you take it. And not only take that, but take this life. And you use it whatever way you want. And he's had all of me ever since that day. But I had to learn the lesson. And child of God, this morning, from 1983, I've never went to watch another game, never missed it, never picked up another stick or anything since. But child of God, when he puts you in the refiner's fire, learn the lessons that you don't have to go back into it again. His attention are absorbing, but our application this morning. You see, it's not enough to have head knowledge. I have had knowledge back all those years ago. It was only when I got into here that made the difference. And I meet Christians and they're full of truth. There's no grace. Now I meet them the other way around, all grace and no truth. There's got to be a balance. And child of God this morning, the children of Israel time and time again had to learn the lesson because they kept turning away from the Lord. And they had to go through the fire, and they had to go through exile and all the things that befell them, and defeat and battle and so on, because they did not absorb the lessons. When you go into the refiner's fire, learn the lessons that he's making as he purifies you. The refiner's purpose, the refiner's patience, the refiner's painstaking care. Painstaking care. You see, his love. Brother and sister that's in a trial this morning, a tribulation, a testing, a tumult today, remember first of all that he loves you. He cares for you. And that his refining is for your own good. Our perfecting is to make us more like him. I think of those words of Jeremiah in chapter 31 and verse 3. Of course, they're written to Israel, but by application we can claim them. Yeah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. He loves you this morning. He cares for you. Not going to damage you or hurt you. 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says, casting all your care for him, for he careth for you. Child of God, this morning, as the Good Shepherd, we thinking of him this morning at Calvary. We think of those great words of John 10 and verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Through whatever you're facing this morning, through whatever trial and whatever test you have, whether it's COVID or something else, remember he loves you. And a finer cares for you. His love is limiting. This morning to you, all may seem bleak. The way may seem dark and difficult. Maybe this morning you're struggling to cope and there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. But brother, remember this morning, not only does he love you, but he will never send you more than you can deal with. It's easier for me to stand here and quote 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So we find you this morning. Remember that he will not have you bear more than you're able. And that great verse in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you in the trial this morning, brother. He cares as he refines you. The refiner's purpose, the refiner's patience, the refiner's painstaking care. What about the refiner's protection this morning? You see, those ladies in the illustration I started with, the question was, and we saw his desire not to damage the silver in any way. The temperature wouldn't get 1 degree too hot, and the silver wouldn't be in that fire 1 second too long. Well, the Lord is observing you this morning. He's observing your refining. And he'll make sure that your testing and your trial and your tribulation is neither 1 degree too hot nor 1 second too long. You think of the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 42 and verse 3. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Regarding that verse in Isaiah 42, Matthew Poole, the commentator, said this: Christ will not deal roughly nor vigorously with those that come to him, but will use all gentleness and kindness to them, bearing their present infirmities, comforting and healing wounded consciences in the lake. Brother, sister, no matter how deep, no matter how dark, no matter how dire, no matter how desperate the test this morning, he'll protect you and make sure no harm comes to you. He cares for you this morning. The refiner's purpose, the refiner's patience, the refiner's painstaking care, the refiner's protection, the refiner's perfecting. The effort. The effort that the refiner puts into the silver is for one purpose and one purpose alone: to purify that silver. In reality, the Lord is investing his time and effort in me with one sole purpose of purifying me. We didn't read it in Ephesians chapter 4, but verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. The perfecting of the saints. To knock my stubborn nature out, my selfishness, to knock away the abrasive nature, pig-headedness, sometimes a lack of tact and a lack of grace, and all my other human frailties, and why he puts his effort into me, that he may perfect me and make me something more like him. The effort, the effect. The reality this morning is very simple. I stand here and I have to confess I may not be all I ought to be all the time. But praise God this morning, I'm not what I used to be. Because he's put me through that fire and he's changed me. And while there's still a long way to go, he'll continue to work on me until he eventually takes me home and he'll change me for eternity. And I thank God this morning for those times when he's put me into the refining fire as silver. Because it was in those times he was closest, the most real. It was in those times he built my faith. It was in those times I learnt to trust him when the next problem would come along. And he grew my faith. And rather than looking those times as horrible times, I've come to look on them as precious times for what the Lord has done for me and to me. And the effort, the effect, the evidence. The lady in the illustration learned that the refiner's purpose was to be able to see himself. Now, I wonder this morning, Martin's been in the refiner's fire many times over the last 40 years. But as the refiner looks up at me this morning, what does he see? Does he see the same old Martin? The natural man? And all his faults and all his traits? When you look up at me this morning, is that what you see? Or maybe, just maybe, there's a wee glimmer of Christ coming through. And you can see the Lord Jesus Christ in some small measures. There's a glimmer starting to come through. But oh, that they would get to the place. They don't see Martin Thompson at all. He's not seen. And all the refiner sees is himself, and that's all others would see. Child of God, this morning, you're in the refiner's fire. Look to him. He cares for you. He'll protect you in it. He has a purpose in it. But above all, embrace the experience, because you are the focus of his attention, and he's working on you this morning. And I trust these thoughts have been an encouragement and a help to some this morning. The Lord will bless them to you. Remember, Brother Geordie would close with a word of prayer, please.
Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we return our thanks to you for bringing each of us here this morning. Thank you for Martin and his wife who traveled up and to be with us this morning to worship and to praise and to honour the wonderful man of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this wonderful man of Calvary, because your time will come. We may have another 2, 3, 10 years. We mightn't be even here tonight. Our Lord, you'll take us when we least expect it, let's be honest. And Father, once again, we return our thanks to you for the day, for the hour, right down to the very second that you saved us. Because when we do depart from this world, it is, as we say, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So Father, we pray indeed you'll undertake for Martin for the rest of this day. We pray, Lord, that whatever you've laid upon him for tonight in the Gospel, that as we come here, God willing, that we be enriched with what you've laid upon him. So Father, take us all to your homes in safety, and let nothing befall us on the way. For we ask all these prayers, giving these thanks, honour and praise only, and in and through that name, and that name as the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Thanks, George.